But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with a little game I like to call How Broke Is Donald Trump? Move on to what everyone hopes will be the last Biden impeachment inquiry hearing, and follow all of that up with a refresher course on the Christian nationalist fever dream affectionately known as Project 2025. Let's begin, shall we? Maybe I'm the only one, but it seems strange to me that someone who claims to have $4.6 billion had to get a bond company to cover a judgment of $91 million for running his mouth about E. Jean Carroll. But then, couldn't get a bond company to cover his $464 million bond to New York for lying about banks and his property value.
Breaking news of a new court filing showing former President Trump is facing insurmountable difficulties in obtaining a bond to pay a nearly half a billion dollar civil fraud judgment.
The problem, according to a new court filing, is that no insurance company wants to underwrite a bond using Trump's real estate holdings as collateral.
And what they say is that they've approached 30 insurance underwriters, some of these big, gigantic companies that you know, and they say that none of them are willing to do it. As you said, they're calling it a practical impossibility.
Significant here is that his attorneys are essentially acknowledging that he is facing some financial trouble, and they've cultivated this image of former President Trump as a billionaire. Clearly, he's having a difficult time paying this.
You know, that does make sense. So either Trumple Foreskin has $4.6 billion, or he doesn't. Too bad accurately guessing his real net worth won't prevent him from taking over our country again. But if you are interested in giving this guessing game a try, explain to me why a billionaire would ever think of doing this.
The Trump people, there is one case that did not go their way from Letitia James. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump is reportedly in panic mode as the deadline approaches to secure this almost half billion dollar bond for the civil fraud case in New York so that he can appeal it. If he fails to secure the bond, it could put his New York properties, at least some of them, on the chopping block. But check out this fundraising text from the Trump campaign today. It says, quote, from Trump, keep your filthy hands off Trump Tower. And then it provides a fundraising link that they called an emergency memo.
Trump posted 8 times within 2 hours this morning on Truth Social, arguing that he shouldn't have to put up that money and saying, quote, that he would be forced to mortgage or sell great assets, perhaps at fire sale prices. And if and when I win the appeal, they would be gone.
This deadline of Monday is real. This judgment is $400+ million. And what's going to happen on Monday if Trump cannot post a bond is Letitia James has made very clear she will start the process of seizing his assets, of freezing, putting liens on his bank accounts, his real estate holdings.
Oh, you bet your sweet ass she is. New York District Attorney Letitia James has started the process of seizing Orange Skittles New York properties, such as filing the judgment in Westchester County, where Donnie Kahn's Seven Springs Golf Course is located. Then there's the option of putting liens on any of the Fraud Father's properties, like Trump Tower, 40 Wall Street, and the hotel near Central Park. But wait, kiddies, there's more, because Letitia James could also claim her stake on non-New York properties in the faraway places that Trump likes to go, like Florida. Turns out Mar-a-Lago and Doral Golf Course in Miami aren't immune to this judgment, and I could not be more thrilled, especially now that Loose Lips Don revealed this little nugget on his Twitter knockoff website.
And with his Republican billionaire buddies so far at least not stepping up, with reports that the disgraced twice impeached ex-president doesn't like the optics of declaring bankruptcy. And after a brutal week of coverage about Donald Trump's finances or lack thereof, today Trump seemingly out of nowhere claimed to have almost half a billion dollars in cash just laying around.
The former president today claiming on social media he has, quote, almost $500 million in cash, which he had intended to spend on his campaign, despite having neither spent nor loaned any of his own money to his campaign since 2016.
In a lengthy, all caps,
early morning post on Truth Social, Trump claimed that he has plenty of money to back up the bond. Quote, through hard work, talent, and luck, I currently have almost $500 million in cash. This declaration brings up an important question. If it is true he has $500 million lying around, why did his lawyers tell the court that no one would give him a bond for less than that amount? Either the lawyers were lying or Donald Trump is lying.
Well, you don't say. In all caps, that Scrooge McSchmuck has $500 million, enough to cover the $464 million bond. He just doesn't want to spend that money on the bond. What in the giving Letitia James a gift and blowing your lawyer's argument that coming up with the bond is a, quote, practical impossibility is going on under that blow-dried trash panda the tiny-handed grifter wears on his head? In court, Dunscap Don's attorneys tried to barter with the bond amount, saying that they could come up with $100 million, but not the full $464 million without selling off some properties. And they don't want to do that because their broke-ass bitch of a client might not get them back. And while that might be a problem for someone who has exclusively lived on his own properties, probably because he can't afford to pay for his own lodging, meals, and rounds of golf otherwise, I couldn't give a shit less. Call me petty, but I can't wait to see Letitia James live on television show up with the cops in tow to seize any one of Clown Ligula's properties. But if I could make a suggestion, let's start with his plane. Take Hair Farce 1 first, because then the Big Lebowski can't continue to fly around the country on his victim tour. But then take Trump Tower and 40 Wall Street, definitely. Oh, and don't forget about Genghis Khan's retirement home in Florida. That seizure would definitely be must-see TV if I ever saw it. But for now, we are going to just have to settle for the worst C-SPAN miniseries produced by the maggots in Congress since the first Biden impeachment inquiry. Although, the new direction this latest installment has taken is quite stark and may mark the end of the series entirely. And that's because so far, no one, and I mean no one, on the Republican aisle has been able to articulate a high crime or misdemeanor that President Biden has committed.
Did you witness the president commit a crime? Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what crime do you have you witnessed?
How much time do I have to go through it?
It is simple. You name the crime. Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes, RICO and conspiracy.
What is it? What is the crime, sir? Specifically.
You asked me to answer the question. I answered the question.
No.
RICO, you're obviously not familiar with. Corruption
statutes. Excuse me, sir. RICO is not a crime. It is a category. What is the crime?
It's a category of crimes that you're then charged
under. You have charges.
A long hundred.
You have charges. Sir, please
name. Want me to name the exact statute under RICO?
Yes.
Well, it's funny. In this committee room, everyone's not here. There's over 18
lawyers that went to law school. All right, sir. I reclaim my time.
Lawyers that went to law school.
So you just heard New York Senator AOC trying really, really hard to get Tony Bobulinski, the Republicans' witness to the Biden crime family's crimes, say what crimes Biden crimed, and got nowhere. Because RICO is a category of crimes, not the crimes itself. Crimes that fall under RICO law are things like bribery, counterfeiting cash, embezzlement, fraud, just to name a few. So far, Biden has not been charged in a RICO case for any of those crimes. And the only person who accused the current president of taking a bribe was just arrested for being a Russian agent tasked with spreading Kremlin propaganda about Joe Biden in an effort to help Comrade Pumpkin Fuhrer's current presidential campaign. How do I know this? Because Rudy Giuliani's goon and convicted felon for his participation in the election was stolen scheme from 2020, as well as a guy who has absolutely nothing to lose, Lev Parnas, who said this in his opening statement.
The American people have been lied to by Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, and various cohorts of individuals in government and media positions. From November 2018 to October 2019, Rudy Giuliani, on behalf of then President Donald Trump, tasked me with a mission to travel the globe, finding dirt on the Bidens so that an array of networks could spread misinformation about them. I found precisely zero evidence of the Bidens' corruption in Ukraine. Even when CEO Burisma, Mykola Zlochevsky, was offered a deal by Rudy Giuliani in exchange for information on the Bidens, he provided none. The only information ever pushed on the Bidens in Ukraine has come from one source, and one source only, Russia and Russian agents. The impeachment proceedings that bring us here now are predicated on false information spread by the Kremlin. Everyone involved knew they were sharing lies. When I was arrested, my original indictment linked me to an individual referred to as unindicted co-conspirator one. We now know this individual to be Congressman Pete Sessions, who sits on this very committee today. Congressman Pete Sessions, then Congressman Devin Nunes, Senator Ron Johnson, and many others understood they were pushing a false narrative. The same goes for John Solomon, Sean Hannity, and media personnel, particularly at Fox News, who used this narrative to manipulate the public ahead of the 2020 elections.
Holy shit. Lev came with receipts, calling out Russia's propaganda marketing team members such as Texas Congressman Pete Sessions, former California Congressman and current CEO of Trump Media and Technology Group, Devin Nunes, and Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, along with Fox, now a Russian propaganda channel, personalities like Nick Hannity, making sure Kremlin bullshit was amplified amongst the poorly educated. You know, that totally tracks, considering that is Jab of the Gut's entire voting base. But Lev, tell me more about how Giuliani and the right-wing media have been such a good helper for Mother Russia.
At what point did Mr. Giuliani begin working directly with Russian agents and Russian assets for spreading propaganda and disinformation against Joe Biden?
It was sometime in probably around May, June of 2019.
Were you aware, was Mr. Giuliani aware that these people were basically just doing the bidding of Vladimir Putin?
Absolutely.
How were you and Giuliani able to take these false allegations peddled by corrupt officials and Russian agents and promote and amplify them here in the United States?
Except for Fox and a few other right-wing media groups didn't want to take any of the information. The main group that was being pushed through was Fox, Sean Hannity, and some other media personnel over there.
You know, at this point, I can't say this surprises me at all. Schmucker Carlson was just in Russia doing his best Anthony Bourdain impression, getting all excited over paying 20 rubles just to use a shopping cart in a Russian grocery store. So hearing Fox is now confirmed to be a Russian propaganda channel here in the United States makes total sense to me. Especially the reason why Republicans refuse to actually vote on impeaching President Joe Biden. As the Putin mask-wearing congressman from Florida, Jared Mouskowitz, so brilliantly exposed during this very hearing.
We've been at this for 15 months now. And so, look, Chairman, we got like 3.5 minutes here. I mean, let's just do the impeachment.
We don't do snap impeachments like you guys. We actually do the facts. We do oversight according
to the
Constitution.
You're never going to call for it. You guys only have 6 more months probably in power, right, until the elections.
Does the Constitution put a time limit on oversight? I didn't read that in the Constitution.
Then what you're admitting is you haven't yet proven that he's committed a high crime and misdemeanor. Otherwise, you would call for it, I assume. The chairman knows me well. I mean, I'm just here to help him. Right. And so I just think we should do it today. Let's just call for it. I'll make the motion, Mr. Chairman. I want to help you out. You can second it. Right. Like, make the motion to impeach President Biden. Go ahead. It's your turn. You second it.
No, Congressman Rusky Jordan from Ohio did not call for a vote. And for that matter, neither did the Oversight Committee co-chair, Congressman Goulash Comer from Kentucky, because this and all the hearings before it weren't actually about impeaching President Biden. Or as Maryland Congressman Jamie Raskin summed it up.
With any luck, today marks the end of perhaps the most spectacular failure in the history of congressional investigations. Nearly 20 fact witnesses who could not identify a single act of wrongdoing by President Biden testified that Biden was not involved in any of his family's business adventures. Three expert witnesses called by the majority itself who said nothing that they had seen even remotely approached the level of a high crime and misdemeanor. A star witness, Gal Luft, who turned out to be a Chinese agent and an illegal arms trafficker on the run from American justice, and the key piece of evidence, a completely fictional tip about a $5 million bribe to Vice President Biden peddled by Alex Smirnoff, who has been criminally indicted for felony counts of systematically lying to the FBI and constructing a false record about Joe Biden, his longstanding and extensive ties to Russian intelligence. Our GO colleagues now are preparing to save face by ending the impeachment farce with criminal referrals. But criminal referrals require evidence of crimes. And the only crimes we have seen are those of the GOP's own star witnesses.
Well, that would be awkward. I certainly cannot see maggots filing criminal charges against their partners in Russian propaganda. So I guess case closed?
And now for something completely different.
In case you hadn't noticed, we are in an election year, so there's all kinds of talk about how this is the most important election in the history of elections, and I am here to join that chorus, because Cheeto Von Dictator is up to his old antics.
The race for the White House and former President Trump's campaign now on the defensive after his fiery rhetoric at a rally in Dayton, Ohio on Saturday night. Trump warning while discussing the economy that there would be a, quote, bloodbath if he is not reelected in November.
It began, as many Trump rallies do these days, with a song by the so-called January 6th
Ladies
prison choir.
Please rise for the horribly and unfairly treated January 6th hostages.
Made up of those serving time for storming the Capitol.
Republicans forced to defend former President Donald Trump's controversial comment while discussing economic tariffs that there would be a bloodbath if he lost the 2024 election.
We're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it.
And with that announcement, it appears the insurrectionist franchise is born. And I know the right-wing media has been crying over context and how the Danger Yam was really just talking about an economic bloodbath, which, by the way, is totally terrifying on its own. And that is some bullshit, and here's why. I'm going to assume that most of you listening either watch January 6th live on some sort of device or have seen the myriad of videos made about that day. So you're at least familiar with why Eric's dad calling for any kind of bloodbath would trigger a shit ton of people. But you may not be aware of how nonchalantly maggots themselves are calling for violence in the name of Christian nationalism, which just so happens to be the foundation of Mayor McTreason's 2024 presidential platform. Roll tape.
Hey, look, welcome to the end of democracy. We're here to overthrow it completely. We didn't get all the way there on January 6th, but we will endeavor to get rid of it and replace it with this right here. We'll replace it with this right,
all right.
Here.
Amen.
That's right, because all glory is not to government, all glory to God.
I want to make sure that we all make a commitment that if this election doesn't go our way, the next day we fight. That's a very important thing. And I know I get golf applause because a lot of people don't want to hear that. They say, what do you mean it doesn't go our way? It has to go our way. We have to win. I agree. But if your answer is no, I'm not going to fight if I don't get my way, then you are a summer, sunny, what they called in the Sunshine Patriot, not ready for the winter storm. So you have to commit yourself to that.
You just heard from a former Trump campaign official and Christian nationalist Jesus freak, Charlie Kirk, who laid it all out for any members of Meal Team 6 who aren't currently awaiting trial or at least in prison for storming the Capitol on January 6th. Sounds like they're hoping to recruit an army of evangelical attack dogs for a not yet announced sequel to Dumbass's first insurrection. And I say that because Charlie Kirk said this during a most recent appearance at the creepy Christian nationalist gathering called Turning Point USA.
This is now the number one narrative that will be pushed forward by a secular pagan regime to try to get the church not involved in politics. Mm. And what they're really afraid of is they're terrified that the Christian church might unite its political power and might be the no against the regime. Mm. And the bad guys say, well, what are you so afraid of? Oh, I don't know. The church being deemed non-essential? The promise of the Declaration and the Constitution is one that is biblical. It is based largely and primarily on the Book of Deuteronomy. It is one that is eternal. It harkens back to even the supreme judge of the world, which you know in Revelation is Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne and judges.
Oh, your God. I bet it makes Charlie's hair curl just thinking about a future America under Christian rule, salivating at the thought that this country could finally become the theocratic hellscape that he and his merry band of Jesus freaks have been dreaming of since the mid-80s. And yes, I said the mid-1980s. That's when the Council for National Policy was founded with a little help from tele-evangelicals like Jimmy Swaggart and members of the self-proclaimed moral majority. Their goals centered around ensuring evangelical Christian-minded people were elected and appointed to positions of power with the express purpose of turning the United States into a Christian nation from the inside out. Which is how we got the Tea Party politicians like Congressman from Texas, who now resembles a sad dad version of Wolverine, Mr. Ted Cruz, and the aptly named Mike Crapo from Idaho. Because the joke is in the name. But the Tea Party is so 2008, so Christian nationalism has rebranded itself yet again, with the alarming normal named Project 2025. And here is why.
Project 2025, a 920-page document outlines conservatives' plan to rescue the country from the grip of the radical left. The document says the GOP will reach its goals by using presidential power to bypass Congress and by destroying what they call the administrative state, which refers to the agencies that try to ensure clean and safe air, food, water, drugs, and consumer products. It explicitly states their goal to rescind regulations prohibiting discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, transgender status, and sex characteristics. It also proposes deleting the term sexual orientation, DEI, gender, gender equality, gender equity, gender awareness, gender sensitive, abortion, reproductive health, and reproductive rights from every piece of legislation that exists. It also proposes pushing as hard as possible to protect the unborn in every jurisdiction in America. The authors propose eliminating the entire Department of Education, which they say injects racist, anti-American, ahistorical propaganda into America's classrooms. Part of its economic policy, it wants to eliminate regulatory and procedural barriers for companies and prop up the oil industry, which it says is not an environmental problem.
And while some listening may hear a list of anti-democratic no-nos and think, oh, that's in some distant future and that's some wish list that somebody made up, may I present to you evidence that this sort of shit is already happening. Here's Exhibit 1. Or, as I like to call it, the bogus SCOTUS is at it again.
Breaking news, the Supreme Court is allowing a controversial immigration enforcement law in Texas to take effect while a lower court reviews whether or not that law is legal.
Bottom line is that Texas state officials at the state and local level can now arrest, stop, and detain migrants who are suspected of crossing into the U.S. illegally from Mexico, and also allow state judges to issue de facto deportation orders against suspected violators.
Typically, as you know, the federal government leads the charge in border enforcement, but Texas taking matters into its own hands with this law.
The Biden administration had sued to block this law, saying that it trampled on the federal government's exclusive authority on immigration issues rooted in the Constitution.
The case now heads back to the Court of Appeals to decide if it is constitutional or not. But in the meantime, it's a major victory for Texas and Republican Governor Greg Abbott.
And that, my friends, is an understatement. Texas Governor Hot Wheels has been laying out murder balls in water and sitting back with popcorn while migrant women and children drown in rivers for the whitest crime a brown person could ever commit, daring to enter their country. Sure, it's always a problem when people come in through a window instead of knocking on the front door, but Texas is clearly taking the whole "get your not whiteness off my lawn" bullshit to a whole new racist level. And wouldn't you know it, the newly MAGA-tized Supreme Disappointment said, "Sure, Greg, do whatever you want. Go ahead and profile any brown person you see in Texas. Hell, even deport them using Texas taxpayer resources if you want." And that's when the president of Mexico stepped in and said, "Hey, Texas is loco if they think they can deport anyone to anywhere." Okay, that is a federal government thing, and Mexico will reject any migrants the state of Texas decides to kick out, which prompted an appeals court to reconsider what the Supreme Disappointment said when they gave Texas the ability to deport people for being brown in a hilariously public about-face.
Confusion at the border. An appeals court has blocked the state of Texas from enforcing a measure known as SB4. Now, that gives state and local law enforcement broad powers to arrest suspected migrants.
Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito has extended the temporary pause on a sweeping Texas immigration law from taking effect.
Basically, what the Supreme Court did yesterday was say it's too soon for us to get involved right now. And the lower court, you need to get going on this. And then late last night, the lower court did just that, stepping in and temporarily blocking the law again.
The Biden administration arguing the Texas law interferes with federal authority over the border. The White House saying in a statement yesterday, after the Supreme Court's decision, SB4 will not only make communities in Texas less safe, it will also burden law enforcement.
Well, duh. But that's only a concern if you're worried about the rights of non-white people. And while I hate to be the bearer of bad news, trust me when I say they don't give a fuck about anyone who isn't white. Oh, and don't forget about rich and male. Can't forget about the patriarchy.
A group called Society for American Civic Renewal.
They want to populate the government of what they call a future aligned regime. It would be a government that, you know, might sound familiar to people who lived in America in the 1890s.
To a time when people like them didn't pay income taxes or face government regulation over their businesses and didn't have to worry about labor unions, workers' rights, or competition from women or blacks. They could employ child labor, work their employees way past a 40-hour work week, and reap unlimited profits and leave vast estates to their heirs tax-free.
It's only available to men. It's only available to certain kinds of Christians. You have to be influential. You have to have some kind of wealth, and they want their members to be dominant in their household. They believe in a very traditional, strict version of hierarchies, and they believe that men should be at the top of them. This rage from people with money and status and position directed downwards to the rest of our society. It's them saying that they want a certain hierarchy that they believe does not exist right now or is being corroded, and they're trying to kind of create that or revive it.
And folks, this isn't just what they want. It's becoming a reality. Our reality. What do you think all these abortion bans are about? Or the attacks on IVF, which inadvertently is an attack on the LGBTQ+ community because they're the ones who use the service the most. The rise of Moms for Patriarchy, making sure only white-centered history is taught to what Republicans like to refer to as our future workers. And the defunding of public schools in favor of taxpayer money going to Christian-based charter schools. What did you think the congressional Republicans' release of their agenda for 2025 was all about? With its explicit call for a national abortion ban, raising the retirement age to 67, and reducing Social Security benefits Americans pay for already. This is called Project 2025. It's happening right before our eyes. But if you want to go down a rabbit hole with me, imagine with me, if you will, a way for the maggots who are rebranding America as a Christian nation to ensure that no matter what, the traffic cone of treason gets right back into the White House.
Potential 2024 chaos. Election deniers refusing to certify results. Quote, in at least 15 instances since November 2020, local Republican officials in eight different states have refused to certify election results. If local election officials nationwide decide en masse to refuse to certify election results this year, it could slow certification of statewide tallies crucial to determining the next president, as well as a false basis for trying to find some way to challenge the outcome of the November election.
They're carried out by people who believe lies and conspiracy theories about widespread election fraud that just doesn't exist.
Local Republican elections officials in some of these cases over the last few years have demanded audits and hand recounts. And then even when all the audits and recounts show the same results, they've still refused to certify the election.
The sort of phenomenon of creating smoke and then saying that there's a fire.
It's about setting up a system that can deliver only one possible result.
And that result is installing their lumbering lard ass as the first president of the United Christians for Nationalism. And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. And don't forget, Sundays at 6 p.m. Ohio time, you can re-listen to this very show on Crowtown Radio. But if that's not enough, you can catch me once a week on Facepalm America with host Beowulf Rockland, where we make fun of the news in real time on a recorded podcast. You can follow This Week Again on social media wherever you can find us. And we're always, for your listening pleasure, available on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon, or basically wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show, and to der for now.